is here tonight and he wants to do something, this is our opportunity to be massively blessed and reconciled to our Father, reconciled to Jesus. And you know, we're talking about friendships tonight, and this little video, it's quite heartbreaking, you know. But the truth is, we have a Heavenly Father who wants the absolute best for us. And one way he massively blesses us is through the friends we have all around us. This is important. Our friends are important. And it is important to the Lord that we have friends. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And please open your heart to Jesus now, because this is a place where we can get hurt the most. This is the place where we can get the joy the most. And let's see and be open what the Lord wants to do. I'll just quickly pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here. And I thank you that you are doing things with us here tonight. Thank you that we came here so we could meet with you. We could encounter you and therefore be changed for the better. Therefore, get to know you a little bit better. And through that, get to know ourselves a little bit better. And therefore, live a better life, Lord Jesus. This is what we pray tonight. Help us. So, friendship isn't something that is foreign to Jesus. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do as I say for you to do." He is the best friendship that we could have. Friendship with Jesus is the number one friendship we should have, the number one friendship we should seek. And through that, all the other friendships start to make sense as well. And he said, "You know, I give everything to you. Everything is open. Everything I receive from the Father, I give to you. You are friends. I call you friends because you know what I'm doing." He was very open with his disciples, showing them that there was something more than them just being his disciples, just people who were following him. He was trying to show them a better way. So to see what the friendship is like, we look to Jesus. We look for his answers, and that's what Jesus did. And how does he do it? How does he make awesome friendships work? You know, friendships work the best with Jesus. That's just the honest truth. Every other shape and form of friendship, there is something mixed in that is not good often. There is selfishness, or there is need, or there is pain or hurt or whatever. But Jesus is something that pulls everything together and gives us the best friendships on this planet. You know, when the Lord of the Rings came out first time, everybody was super excited. It came, we went to see it in the cinema. And it's awesome. These different people from different tribes and, you know, they were even different creatures, whatever, came together on one purpose. And I saw the first one, and I was quite impressed with it and how awesome it was. I never read the stories. I never heard of it. But it was until the second one came around. You know, when you realize that the dwarf and the elf, they become like the closest things to each other. They become like the closest friends to each other. Why? They're totally different. At first, they hate each other. At first, they can't stand each other, and they try to, be better than the other person. But I was thinking about this. It's quite similar, actually, with Jesus. Jesus gives us a purpose that is bigger than ourselves. Jesus gives us a reason to be friends with everybody. And, you know, if you even look at the church, there's people who are totally different, and they're sitting next to each other. They talk. They share good time and bad time, because they have a reason and a purpose together, which is bigger than themselves. And Jesus is like that. And like this elf and this dwarf they had, they were fighting for something bigger. It didn't matter what the differences were anymore. So what does make friendships work? I remember when we were teenagers, we had 7 cousins who were sort of cousins, and cousins' cousins and all these things. And I mean, I considered them my absolute best friends. We did absolutely everything together. We got baptized, all of us together. We did our first crime, all of us together. We spent time together. Every chance we got in the summer, we got together. You know, we annoyed each other. We played together, you know. This day, I know them all, but they're not all of my friends anymore. I know all their names, and I don't know all of their kids' names, but not all of them are my friends anymore, and I was thinking why that is. One of them is a super close friend. He was my best man at my wedding, and another one of them is sort of a friend on a friendship level. But the other ones are just people I know. I mean, they're my cousins, they're my family, and I love them, you know. But I was thinking, what was the difference? And this one, his name is Ingmar. And, you know, since we started this whole cousins gang, we weren't the closest one with him. And we were like rivaling a little bit. We were getting on each other's nerves. I would bully him and he would bully me, you know. But at some point I realized that he was hungry for God and I was hungry for God. And all of the other stuff we were doing was fun, but there was something. And as we got along, we started talking about that more and more. And we seeked God together when we were young. In a way that we sort of didn't matter who was better, who was smarter or whatever. We held each other and we seek God together. And to this day, I could go to him and talk to him. And it takes 1 second and we can get back to this level that we have developed. And it was because there was something bigger than just being friends. There was something more than just being friends. This is what Jesus can give us. Nobody else can actually give us that. Nothing else can. So how do we have awesome friendships? Well, Bible makes it very clear. We need to choose our friends. Who are you friends with? You know, like I said, we need Jesus to have true friendships. Anything else is second best. And if you have Jesus, then we can make wise decisions. You know, Bible makes it clear that the people you hang out with, they affect who you become. If you want Jesus, if you want good life, if you want good friends, look for Jesus. But otherwise, you'll end up with something else, you know. So, who do you friend with, you know? And you can think about this right now. And let's make it practical. I think God wants to just like help us to get blessed in this area and have awesome friendships. So who are your friends? Who are your friends? Are the people who build you up? Or are the people that pull you away from church? Are the people that encourage you and help you? Or are the people who just use you or, you know, bring you down? So, and how do we be a good friend? How do we have good friendships? It's about being a friend yourself. Be a friend first. You know, you can say, I don't have any friends. You could ask yourself, how many people have me as a friend? How many people have me as a friend? We can choose to be friends first. And you know, Kina shared the story with me. Like, she had a friend back in when she was in a discipleship school in Australia. And very like a likable girl, and they become really good friends really quickly. And as the group was going out on this mission trip, she, Amanda, that girl, didn't have the money to do it. And Kina spoke with her parents and said, look, there's some kids who don't have the money to go. And her parents said, ah, we'll give some money. But you know the kids better, so you choose who you give the money to. And Kina tried to give this money to this this girl and some other girls, like anonymously. Anonymy, you know, but you know what I mean. Complicated words. You know, but they messed it up. They wrote like the initial K and a little bit and then scribbled it out and wrote anonymous, something. You know, and she got this check and see that the mission trip had been paid for. But she quite quickly figured out who it was, which was awesome. And she was happy that she had money to go, obviously answered the prayer. But because it went this way, Kina said, like, since that day, she was sort of waiting for something in return. You know, I've done this to you and I've blessed you. And now you need to be a better friend. And obviously, it went downhill. It went downhill quite quickly. And so it's important, you know, if we are friends, we don't do it for ourselves. We do it for them. This is how Jesus helps us, you know. If we know, and it's interesting, if we know that we are accepted by Jesus, we know that we have friendship with him first, then it doesn't matter if we have friendships with other people and we don't, like, seek for them in this way. We don't do things for them so that they would be our friends. But we can do it as a blessing. And obviously, how to be a good friend or how to have good friendships is to receive friendship as well, which is a really hard thing to do. You know, if somebody buys you a cup of coffee because he's your friend, it's very easy to feel like, now they've given something to me, now I give something. Need to give something back. Obviously the same thing happens. There's something else in the relationship. So we need to be better at learning how to receive from people around us. And a proverb says as well, like, you know, the wounds from the friend can be trusted. And often we can be friends, like, one-sided. We can help them listen, you know, tell them how to live, teach them. But when somebody tells us how to live, or somebody gives us advice, or somebody tries to encourage us, it's hard for us to receive it. But we can trust our friends and receive it humbly, and God will, you know, make it better. So, Kinnas, can I come and be awesome?
So, Chris has talked a little bit about, like, why we have friendships and how we have them, but the truth is, a lot of the time, friendships go wrong, and we get hurt, especially if we let people really close, because we've been vulnerable and we've let them in. Then if they betray us or let us down, we end up really, really hurt. And so to really consider friendship, we need to think about, well, what do we do then? It says in Proverbs as well that an iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. And so I think a lot of the time God puts people in our lives as our friends, and he lets those hurts happen because it shapes us. It helps us become the person we need to be. If we deal with them and we face it and we try to figure it out, it doesn't work if we kind of run away from it. And so it's really important to know kind of what to do. I'm going to look kind of at Jesus as an example to see, well, what did he do when he was hurt by his friends? And one of his closest friends was Peter, one of the disciples. And when Jesus was being put to death on the cross and in the worst time of his life, Peter betrayed him 3 times. He was asked, do you know this man? No, I don't know him. 3 times. And Jesus wasn't there hearing it, but he knew because he's God. And imagine if that was you, how hurt you would be that one of your closest friends that spent the last 3 years with you, doing everything with you, that you've poured your heart out to, when he could have supported you, he denied you. Oh, I don't even know him. You know, I'm sure we've all had moments in our lives where we felt like that by our friends. And I was thinking about my life, and when I was in seventh grade, so I was like 12 or something, I had quite a few friends and was quite bubbly and, like, really wanted to get to know people. And I had got to know quite a few people in my class. And one of the girls that used to be quite popular in that class, I'm not really sure what I'd done, but she'd got hurt by me, and she didn't talk to me about it. Instead, she told everybody else about it. And I was in English class once. I'd left and come back to class, and I saw on my desk that there was a note for me. And my heart, I remember my heart feeling really excited. Oh, somebody's left me a note. Like, walked over to my desk to look at this note, and I opened it, and it basically said, well, we've all decided that we don't like you anymore. And it was signed by every single person in the class. And I felt so betrayed and so alone and so confused. Why had they suddenly decided that they didn't like me? And so that's just the story from my life to kind of help you think about, well, when has this happened to you, you know? And I'm sure we all have lots of different examples. But I guess the question is, well, what do we do then? So we've been betrayed, but what do we do with that then? So looking at Jesus again with Peter, he obviously was resurrected, and then he met up with his disciples again. And the first thing that really strikes me with that is that he wasn't any different with Peter than he was with anyone else. He welcomed him, he loved him, he cared for him. And then what he did was actually he talked to him about it. I'm just going to read a little passage from John chapter 21. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And I just think it's so lovely because Peter denied Jesus three times. And now Jesus asks him three times, do you love me? He gives him the opportunity to kind of make his wrong right. And he doesn't say it. He doesn't come with his overwhelming, oh, you hurt me. Why did you do that? What were you thinking? He just very gently gives him the opportunity to make things right with him. So to just kind of split that up a little bit, the first thing he did, which he doesn't say, but it's implied, was to forgive Peter. And that's what gave Jesus the ability to accept him and love him and be with him like he was with everybody else. And that's a really hard thing to do, actually, when you've been hurt. I work in a primary school where one of my jobs is to chat with the kids on the lunchtime about anything that's kind of happened. They can come with whatever they want. And a lot of them come with, oh, well, so-and-so said this about me. What do I do? And so I was talking to a couple of girls, and one of the girls was telling me about this friend who had hurt her. And we were kind of talking about forgiveness, and, you know, like sometimes friends do that, and you need to forgive them, and you can still be friends. And the other girl said, nah, they need to be punished. And which was really cute, but that's actually how we all think, if we're really honest. When somebody hurts us, we think, ah, I'm not going to forgive them. They need to come to me and say they're sorry, or, you know, whatever you feel is the right thing for them to do, because you want justice. But Jesus didn't do that. He forgave without an apology, actually. And to do that, you have to die to yourself a little bit. You have to let go of your own pride. You have to love the other person more than you love yourself. And the way that we do that is by knowing who Jesus thinks that we are, knowing that Jesus loves us, and knowing that Jesus forgives us, gives us the ability to then forgive the people who hurt us. It's really hard to muster up in your own strength if somebody's really hurt you, because it comes back. You can try, but it kind of niggles back. But God makes it possible. And realizing that God has forgiven you for everything humbles you enough, really, to then forgive the small things people might have done to you, and the big things. And once you kind of got to that point, you just have to choose to do it. You have to make a decision that I'm going to forgive this person. And I was thinking about a lady called Corrie Ten Boom, who was an awesome woman who was, during the Second World War, hiding Jews. She was a Christian, but they were kind of hiding Jews in her home, like helping them stay away from the concentration camps. Eventually, she ended up in a concentration camp and was treated horribly, but really, really held on to her faith. And mass evangelist, kind of told other people about Jesus while she was there, and she survived. So after the World War II ended, she's also done a lot of preaching and evangelism and a lot of talk about forgiveness. And one day when she was preaching, she was talking, in the congregation she was talking to, there was a former Nazi soldier who actually had worked at the concentration camp where she and her sister had been and done a lot of the hurtful things to her. And he'd come up to her at the end, not realizing actually that she'd been in his concentration camp, but realizing that she'd been somewhere, you know. And he'd come over to her, one asking for her forgiveness. And she describes feeling like, how can I possibly forgive this man? But she makes a choice. He holds his hand out to shake her hand, and she makes a choice to take his hand. And when she does that, God kind of fills her with this feeling of love and forgiveness for this man. But she had to make that choice first. And it's a hard choice to make, but really, really important. And you let go then of any hurt, of any injustice, of anything this person has done, and you can love them just like you love anybody else. The next thing that Jesus did was talk to Peter about it, not in a condemning way, because he'd already forgiven him, but in a kind, gentle way. And I think a lot of the time that's important, especially if it's a really close friend, to not ignore it and pretend like it didn't happen, but to address it somehow. And what Peter did then that is awesome is that he accepted it. So Peter could have got really angry and thought, well, why are you asking me? And kind of gone off on a rant to Jesus about, well, you know this, and why would you address it? And you don't know how hard it was for me when you were dying, and kind of turned it on him, and will you hurt me? Which is often how we feel, actually. If a friend has hurt you, that friend usually feels like you've hurt them, and goes both ways. So the forgiveness needs to go both ways as well. When somebody does approach you about something, to then be humble and gracious and accept it so that the friendship can then go back to what it was. And it can, God can work through these issues, and it might feel hopeless, but especially if it's a Christian friend, you know, because they'll be looking to the same examples, and you can work through it. So just hope for that, really. And I'd really like to pray with anyone that that feels like they have been hurt by a friend tonight, because it can be so painful and it can really stop you and where you're at. When I was thinking about this, I saw a picture of, I think they're called like wind flags, but they're like on a pole and there's this like tube hanging out, and when the wind blows, it shows what direction the wind is blowing in. Well, I saw one, but it was kind of blowing and then it went down. Because there was something blocking it. And I think that when you have an issue with a friendship, or unforgiveness, really, that it blocks the Holy Spirit blowing into your life. And so the power that it could be blowing you in is hindered. So if you get rid of that, then the Holy Spirit can blow through your life much stronger. So it's really important to get rid of these issues. And I'd love to pray with anyone that kind of feels like they have been betrayed, or maybe feels like they've betrayed someone, or doesn't know why there's an issue in a friendship, because there'll be a source somewhere that's caused it. And the other thing that I felt quite strongly for tonight was, I've talked a lot about Jesus' forgiveness, and that it's through his forgiveness that we're able to forgive, but I wonder if there's people in here tonight that actually don't know Jesus, and don't know that forgiveness. So I was wondering if we could maybe just all close our eyes for a minute, just to give you some privacy. But if there is anyone here tonight that they really would like to know Jesus' forgiveness in that way, like to know Jesus as a friend, the way Chris was talking about it, you know, that he's our friend, to just put your hand in there. And it's not to show me, it's to show God that, you know, I want you in my life. I want to know you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. When you put your hand up, you can put it back down again. That's awesome. Well done. Is there anybody else? Oh, that's awesome. I just want to pray a prayer as well with those people that have put their hands up in the air now. And if all the rest of you pray with them, just to encourage them, I'll pray and you can kind of repeat after me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. And forgiving me for all of my sins. I invite you now to come into my life. And to be my friend. To help me live my life according to your will, God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we have lots of friends. Sometimes we don't have very many friends. And I just felt as well that, you know, there could be people you feel actually quite lonely. And maybe you have friends and you hang out with people, but you still feel lonely. And God really cares about that as well. Sometimes we seek for our acceptance and for our love in friendships and in other people when we should be seeking it in the Lord. I just remember when I came into England a couple of years ago, and I was sort of like wanting to change my life, leave all of the hard things that was in Estonia and come here, just to be more available for the Lord and live for Him, like sort of cutting away from my past. And I came here, and obviously I knew a lot of people here, and they were true good friends. But I lived with Andy at first. And he lived away somewhere far in Ingleby, Barwick. And he started dating Esther. So he was never home. Or when they were sort of, you know, didn't want me there anyway. So I ended up loads alone in this small little room upstairs that had sort of 1 meter space, you know. And it felt, for me at first, like a place where I was alone. I felt like I'm here back in my room and I'm alone and everybody else doing something else somewhere else. All the people who were my friends, I thought. But then I realized that this is a place for me from God. This little cell became like a monastery. I learned to be alone with God. I learned to learn how to know Him. So I read loads of the Bible and other different books about Jesus and about God. I was praying loads. I was writing down what God was saying to me. And I had this time I went for walks around Ingleby, Barwick. And I became a friend with God first. And soon this time ended and I moved somewhere else and closer to everybody. And you have so many friends sometimes that you don't have time for everybody now. But it's important that we know how to be with our actual true friend by ourselves. Sometimes we fill our lives with everybody else so much that we don't have time for Him. We don't know. If we're alone, we feel like we're half a person. We feel like something is missing. But nothing is missing. What we actually need is God and His friendship. So I want to encourage you. If you feel lonely sometimes, or if you feel like nobody cares and nobody wants you, Jesus wants you. He's willing to and wanting to be your number one friend. So we really want to bless and pray for you as a team as well. And for all of these different things that you might have with friendships. I really believe God wants to make a difference. Maybe you need one really, really good friend. Maybe you need one. Somebody you can actually share your heart with. Somebody who would understand you. Somebody who's burning for Jesus like you are. Maybe you need a new friend. Maybe you need forgiveness, or maybe you need repentance. Maybe you need some reconciliation with the friend that you had. You know, God can do it for you. I really believe He wants to give new friends, new friendships. and heal friendships tonight.
Awesome.